Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that everyone is doing okay. We are pushing right through October. I tell you, it seems like October just got started here, and but we are already on the last portion of the year. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas will be right around the corner. And I tell you, if we have not felt the real impacts of COVID-19, we're certainly going to feel it during the holidays. I'm already talking to family and friends that are having to cancel their traditional gatherings with family members out of precaution. And, you know, I encourage my family to cancel our normal gathering because my grandmother is 87 and I'm very concerned about her health, and I want my family members and all of everyone's listening, their family members as well, to be okay. And so let's keep that in mind. The medical experts are expecting another spike in COVID. So let's just make sure that we're wearing our mask. Let's make sure we're using the hand sanitizer. Let's make sure we're washing our hands. If you wear gloves, keep in mind that you're probably doing more harm to other people than yourself, especially if you keep them on all day and you're touching everything and cross-contaminating everything. That's why a lot of medical experts suggest that you don't wear gloves, because when you don't wear them, you're more conscious about the hand washing. You're more conscious about the using the hand sanitizer. And it's also proven that even people with gloves on still touch their faces sometimes and things of that nature. And that's how the virus gets into the body, that T area on your face between your eyes and your nose and your mouth. So let's keep that in mind. You know, we still have the census going on. It was extended until the end of this month. And so if you can get your census in, make sure you get that in. October the 5th was the last day to register to vote. So we are pushing toward elections. Monday, early voting will start here in Columbus, Georgia. Monday, October the 12th, early voting actually will start all over Georgia. Monday, October the 12th. So you can go do your early voting at the Citizen Service Center if you want to. And keep in mind, we also have the bins for any absentee ballots. We have bins at four locations throughout the city, two at the Citizen Service Center, one in the parking deck. So you can just simply just drive in, drop off your ballot, and keep on moving. Just circle through the parking deck right there by the natatorium, the big swimming pool. And also, we have a drop-off location at the healthcare facility, the new healthcare facility on North Veterans. And there's a drop-off location as well at Frank Chester Recreational Center, which is off of Benning Road, not too far, right down the street from the new Walmart on Victory Drive. So we want to make sure you get your vote in. We just want to make sure that everyone's voices are heard, and we want this to be a smooth election. I do believe it will. And so just make sure that you participate. Keep in mind, you guys, we are still in hurricane season. Of course, we're praying for the people along the Gulf Coast. Hurricane Delta came ashore this weekend, and so be prayerful for all of your family members down that way. Also keep in mind, we got to keep our eye on the hurricane season, because we have typically seen hurricanes historically up until the end of November. So we still really have like a month and a half left of potential storms. And this year, for some reason, has been a very heightened year. We've already broken a record. We've never gone this far into the Greek alphabet with hurricanes, and that's wow. And so Epsilon may be out there now, along the Atlantic Ocean coming toward this way. And I tell you, it's funny listening to the meteorologists try to pronounce the Greek letters. As a member of a Black Greek letter organization, Alpha Phi Alpha, we had to learn all the Black Greek letters. So when you say that, when you see someone say Zeta when it should be Zeta, or Upsilon when it should be Epsilon, you know, it's just kind of funny. But hurricanes are not funny, but watching them is kind of funny. But we got some good information for you today. I talk with you guys quite often about community resources that we have for not only Columbus, but the Chattahoochee Valley region. And there are some amazing resources that we have here in Columbus that we got to make sure that the general public knows about. So today's show is going to be largely dedicated to talking to some individuals that work within those areas and talking about the work that they do. And I am excited to have with me today Candace Muncy with 211. We also have Pat Frey with Home for Good, and we have Ben Moser, the president and CEO of United Way of the Chattahoochee Valley. And so We're going to go ahead and get, I think that's right. That, but before, let me correct that. Ben, are we right? Chattahoochee Valley, right?
Got it.
Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, because if you were the CEO of the National United Way, I wouldn't want to give you a demotion or anything. And so I'm glad we got that cleared up. But Candace, I want to start with you. You know, we have a very unique phone line here in the Chattahoochee Valley that individuals can dial to find out about services, especially during that time of need. And it's a very unique number. And it's one of these three-digit numbers. And I remember when the three-digit numbers first rolled out. First, we had 911, of course, which was for emergencies. And then many larger municipalities began to roll out 311 for their city services. I was actually working with the city of Atlanta as a manager under Mayor Shirley Franklin when we were rolling out the 311 service there. And now we have 211, which I'm so glad that we have this because it is such an amazing opportunity for citizens to have a quick access to information about the community. And I know you want to talk with us a little bit about that. So, Candace, I'm going to allow you to tell us, what is 211 and how can it help those in our community?
Thanks, Teddy. Just like you said, 211 is the easy-to-remember number that links people in need to services in our community. Like you mentioned, 911 before is for emergencies. 211 is for access to community programs. It's free, it's confidential, and it can put you in touch with the things that, you know, may be weighing heavily on you right now, especially during this time of COVID, things like paying your rent or your, you know, utilities, or things that are just as simple as putting groceries on the table. 211 can put you in touch with programs in our community that can help you.
Well, that is awesome. And you know, and considering the economic challenge that we are having now, with the impacts of COVID, you know, I know quite a few people that not only have they lost loved ones, but they lost jobs. You know, they've lost money in the stock market. Some of them are behind on rent and behind on their mortgage and things of that nature. And so it's good to hear that we may have potential resources that can be utilized for them, but most importantly, that is confidential. You know, Candace, I read a study one time that highlighted that almost 50% of people that need help will not call and get that help because they would be ashamed to do so. And they are afraid that someone in the community or someone in that vicinity may share that information with the broader public and it would be embarrassing to them. And so you talked about the privacy. Can you just touch on that a little bit more just to assure people that when they call, no one will know?
That's absolutely true. We don't even collect name information. And if they ask your name, it's probably just to be polite so they can address you properly on the phone. But we don't collect any personal information. It is completely confidential. And even if you don't want someone to overhear you talking on the phone, you can text your zip code to 898-211 and still get access to those same resources.
And that was 898-211. Now that's texting. If you want to text and you
that's texting.
That's texting. If you need to text, you're in a position where you don't want people to hear your conversation, 898-211 is how you, but if you can talk, just dial 211. Now, Candace, to really drive this 211 home, you know, I'm a kinesthetic learner, so I learned through a lot of examples and things of that nature. So can you tell us what type of calls do you guys get so folks will understand, hey, it's okay to call about this. Don't think that this is crazy. Just tell us what kind of calls you guys generally get.
The calls that we generally get are what I said before, things like rent, utility assistance, and food, the very basic necessities of life. But we also get calls for, you know, access to health care or mental health care, after school programs. Maybe you want to volunteer. Maybe you don't need the help, but you want to be a help to somebody else and you want to volunteer or donate goods. All of those things, anything that's not provided by the city, you can call 211 for access to community services.
Great, great, great. And this is some good information. If you've been listening and you have not gotten out your pen and your pad, you need to please do so. Even if you need to write on the back of an envelope, wherever you need to put this information, please take down this information. Because, you know, with the current state of affairs, we don't know when things may turn around. We don't know when we may have a vaccination that has been truly been tried, tested, and proven. We don't know when the economy may go back. We don't know when the restaurant industry is going to be back to 100%. You know, and the tourism business, it's just so much right now that are impacting us from so many different levels. And people that, you know, you just didn't think about are being impacted are truly being impacted. Now, I want to go back and touch on the mortgage situation a little bit, and rent situation, especially those that may be facing some type of eviction. Pat Frey, I know what you guys over there at Home for Good, I know you work very diligently in this area, and you're oftentimes capable of providing answers for individuals that may not know, you know, that may not have the knowledge. You know, I think I saw a news story where the moratorium that was placed on by the president, in some areas, in some counties, they're not treating it as automatic. What has happened is the judge is requiring that the person who is being evicted invoke that request in court to have that stay put in place. And I maybe you can provide shed some light on if that is happening here in Columbus or not. But our radio broadcast reach a broad area. So, you know, I just want to give out the general information so that everyone that is listening will have this good information. What about those people facing evictions during this time? What can you share with them?
Yes, thank you, Teddy. And you're exactly right. This is a national moratorium. This was a directive that came out on September the 4th from the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, that put a moratorium on rentals. This does not cover mortgage. This is for renters only. Anyone who is renting a residential property does have the option of submitting a declaration, and that is a requirement from the federal government in order to stay that eviction for non-payment of rent. This, again, this is for only for non-payment of rent. When you're unable to meet your rental obligations during this time, you must submit the declaration form that states your income level. It has to be filled out by every adult member of the household. It is a legal document that is punishable by law if you falsify the information. It's a simple declaration, and it goes through December the 31st of this year. That is the expiration date as it stands right now. And the declarant declares their income and their inability to pay. They sign it and they date it, and they must deliver it to the landlord or the rental property management company, whomever would have the right to evict them. It must be delivered to them.
Now, Pat, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
No, go ahead. Please go ahead.
I was going to say, many have said, well, people can mail this registered mail with return receipt and all that. However, that can get a little expensive, too.
Right.
So what we have suggested to individuals is that they, if any way possible, that they email it. If they've got a smartphone, if they have access to a library, a friend's computer, something, to email it and click on the buttons where you can have a read receipt on the email. That will stand up in court as verification of delivery to your landlord.
So they just need to give this to the landlord. They do not need to. They do not have to file this in court. They just need to give it to the landlord.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct, sir. And if many apartment complexes, the rental offices will make a copy of it for the tenant and sign it and date it that it was received. Some verification that it was indeed received by the landlord will hold up in the court as the tenant having filed a declaration to stay the eviction. That being said, we encourage tenants to talk with the landlords, explain the situation. You may not be able to pay the full month's rent. You may be able to pay part of it. doing everything you can along the way to do what you can so that once the expiration date of December 31st is reached, that you don't have all 3 months of back rent due, but maybe a portion of that.
Wow, you know, Pat.
An excellent resource to, I'm sorry?
No, Pat, I was just about to ask you that question. Pat, give me 1 second here if you guys don't mind. We need to take one quick break to allow our sponsors to jump in here for 1 second. And we're going to get back into this conversation because, Pat, you're talking about something that I think a lot of people need to hear. And I just want to make sure that you know, I try to anticipate questions that my listeners may have. And so I'm not don't want to be rude with interrupting anything, but if I hear something, I'm like, we may need just a little bit of clarity on that. So just give us 1 second. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. You are speaking with representatives, or hearing representatives today from 211, Home for Good, and the United Way. And they are sharing some amazing information. So if you're just signing on with us, if you're just now listening, make sure you go ahead and get your pen and paper so that you can write down some of this good information. We are here talking with representatives from 211, Home for Good, and United Way of the Chattahoochee Valley, and they are sharing some very important information that people really need to know, especially during this time in COVID with so many folks that are having difficult times in our community. Now, Pat, I want to jump right back in. Pat is from Home for Good, you guys. Pat, you and I were talking about the moratorium and how it applies to renters and how the renters have to present that form to their landlord. And this is a government form. This is a legal form. So there is penalty if you falsify information on there, like income or anything of that nature, at the present time. But Pat, what you were saying that I think everyone needs to understand is this moratorium doesn't erase your rent. It delays your rent. Yes. So on December the 31st, you have not paid anything, Pat, will they have all that due for the month of January? Or is there some type of directive for landlords to spread out whatever balance that may be? Because if not, we're just going to have a lot of evictions in January.
Teddy, I am so glad you said that, because that is exactly what we're encouraging people to do. Have a conversation with your landlord. Many, many landlords are waiving late fees and all those other things if they have the conversation. Everybody wants to make sure that everybody is able to stay safe and stay in their home, but we have to have those honest, hard conversations. And you mentioned earlier when you were talking with Candace, sometimes people are embarrassed to say that they are in need, that they're not able to meet their obligations. This is not the time to let our pride take over. We need to say, hey, I'm not able to do this. Can we work something out? The landlords, according to this moratorium, are not required to waive anything. So, yes, your question is, on January 1st of 2021, all of this will be due. However, if we work out arrangements now, it's always best to tackle it on the front end. You know, they say, pay me now or pay me later. It's time now to have those hard conversations. It's also time to get in touch with the wonderful folks at 211 who can help you to access rental assistance now. Don't wait. Don't put it off.
Yeah, we can't afford to wait. As you're sitting here talking, I am now really materializing the magnitude of what may transpire and where it may hold things down for the moment. For some, let's say a family, you know, executed this moratorium on their behalf this month, October the 1st. So October passes, no rent, you pay. November passes, you don't pay rent. December passes, you don't pay rent. January 1 comes, you now owe 4 months of rent because you have to pay January as well. So, you know, oh, my God. I'm glad we have this relief for people, Pat, but it also frightens me on what the condition of our community is going to look like come January when this is lifted. Because, you know, the landlords, in their defense, they have to pay mortgage on their, many of them, on their facilities, on the place that they are renting. So it's not like they're charging to be mean. They're charging because they can't provide that rental property if they don't pay the mortgage on the property themselves, many of them. And so it's just putting us all, it's going to be a very dire situation that just may unfold in January. And at this point, I do want to segment to Ben a little bit. Ben, I appreciate you for being the ultimate gentleman and allowing me to talk with the ladies that we have on the line with us today first. But Ben, I think this is the appropriate conversation for United Way to join the conversation here, because for a lot of communities for many, many years, United Way has been that source that provided assistance when people didn't have many other places to go. Before I left Geico Corporate when I was working in Macon, the last thing I did was I ran our regional Geico United Way giving campaign. And it was one of the most successful giving campaigns we had with United Way from Geico. I think we raised somewhere over a little over $1 million from Geico alone. And we were also excited because with United Way, you don't have to question whether or not those benefits are going back to the community. You know that they are. So, Ben, I just want you to talk to us about, you know, how 211 and Home for Good and other agencies really tie into the overall United Way campaign that's going on now, how people can participate, and those who need assistance, how they can reach out to you guys as well.
Sure. Thanks, Teddy. Thanks for having us on, and thank you for your support of United Way and also for the public service that you're providing through your show. This is really great. And it's also, first of all, I'd like to say it's such an honor to work alongside Candace and Pat, who are two dedicated professionals doing the hard work on the ground in our community with 211 and Hope for Good. Our campaign supported 47 programs across 27 different partner agencies last year, many of which are providing resources to individuals and families that access those services through 211 and or Home for Good. Our campaign also funds our United Way operations, allowing us the capacity to provide these services to the community. Some great examples of our funded partner agencies that are providing assistance directly to folks that are struggling right now, struggling through the pandemic, are the Salvation Army and St. Anne's Community Outreach, and the Rental Assistance Program, and we have many others as well. We've also recently partnered with the Community Foundation on the Coronavirus Response Fund and made grants of over $1.1 million to area nonprofits since the pandemic began. Our campaign allows us to do all of this work, and so we're just so grateful to all the hundreds of organization partners and over 15,000 annual donors that make it happen. It's really all about the community, and we have such a generous community here in the Chattahoochee Valley that supports our United Way, our 211, Home for Good, and all of our agency partners with their time, treasure, and talent on an annual basis. As far as getting involved in the campaign, there are lots of ways to do that. The main way most folks get involved in the United Way campaign and give to the United Way campaign is through their workplace and through doing a payroll deduction pledge annually. And so we encourage folks to check in with their managers, with their company champions, if you know who that is. Check with your HR department if you don't know if you're running a United Way campaign or not. But most companies are really good about reaching out to their employees at campaign time and asking for those donations. This year's a little bit different. We're very used to doing big rallies and talking to folks across the community in boardrooms, break rooms, and we're doing a lot of stuff via Zoom this year like everybody else. And so that's been different and a little bit of a challenge for us, but we're nonetheless very excited about our campaign. We have a $7 million goal this year in the community and a fantastic campaign chair, and Ms. Gwen Ruff from the Waterworks. And so lots of exciting things going on to give back and support the community through United Way.
Well, did you say Gwen Ruff?
Yes, sir.
Oh, she's the campaign chair this year. Oh, she is absolutely phenomenal. Yes. Tell Gwen Teddy Reese say hello. Gwen, if you're listening, we love you. Thank you for everything that you do. You are just simply a jewel to our community. Gwen is one of those type people. She gets a lot of work done and people don't know it because she's not loud and boisterous about it. She just does it behind the scene and she does a phenomenal job.
That's right. She's been working for us at our United Way for a very long time in a volunteer capacity. And, you know, this year she's the big campaign chair, and then she'll be our board chair going into next year. So we're just super excited to have Gwen running the campaign. We couldn't have chosen a better campaign chair, and we're just so proud to have her running our campaign this year across the hundreds of organizations in our region. They're running a United Way campaign to support the community.
Absolutely. I may have to get her on, and we may have to have a conversation as well, especially to really, really push this. And Ben, talk some a little bit to those small business owners that's not the size of your Aflac or your TSIS and don't have like employee given programs. But, you know, they want to do something because every little bit counts. I've never seen United Way turn away a penny. They actually, well, you know, we used to have the little change jars and everything, you know, so it, no matter the amount, everything helps. Talk to some of those small business owners who may want to contribute, but don't have the luxury or the capacity to run those large campaigns.
Yeah, absolutely. We won't turn away a penny, a dollar, or $1,000. We are trying to engage folks anywhere that they are that they would like to give back. For small business owners, it's no different. I mean, if you've got a 2 or 3 person shop, go to our website at unitedwayofthecv.org and look on our staff page and give Haley Ramey or Becky Fletcher or myself a call. Shoot us an email and we can set you up with all the materials that you need to run a campaign. We've got a nice online toolkit that you can pull a lot of materials down and run your own campaign. And but get in touch with us and let us know that you're interested in running a campaign. And we will do anything we can to support you in those efforts.
Ben, do you have a simple donate button? Can somebody just go to the website and just donate?
Yeah, we absolutely have a donate button on our website, and that's a really great way to do it. And so, yeah, you can go straight to the website and give through a credit card on the website. But there are a lot of options on ways to give. So, and all that's laid out on our website as well.
Well, awesome. Awesome. And Ben, how long have you been with us here at Chattahoochee Valley for United Way? How long have you been there now?
I've been here about 15 months at this point.
15 months. Okay.
So I came from Asheville. Yes, sir.
Asheville, North Carolina.
This is my third United Way. Yeah, this is my third United Way. I started out in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where I was from with the United Way of Forsyth County.
Okay, Winston-Salem.
4 years.
Okay.
Went to the United Way of Asheville, Buncombe County, and then was fortunate enough to be able to come here to the Chattahoochee Valley about 15 months ago. So it's just been an amazing journey, and this has been an incredible community. We have a fantastic staff, an amazing board of directors, and it's just such a generous community here.
Absolutely.
Very fortunate to be here.
And Ben, you're going to learn too. You probably already know this is a very generous and humble and loving and caring community. And we take care of each other and our own, but we are also a big HBCU town. You got tons of Albany State University and Fort Valley State University graduates here in the Fountain City area in the Chattahoochee Valley. And I heard you say Winston-Salem. So I know about Winston-Salem State University and that national championship run they had a few years ago in D2 football. we get a little off topic. But that's a great play. In Asheville, I love Asheville, especially, you know, driving up. I think it's 26 that goes north out of Nashville.
That's right.
Is that it? Yeah, there's some nice some nice ski resorts up through there. And if you go during the summertime, the mountain views are absolutely beautiful. And then there's a chocolate shop downtown that my wife, she just loves. When we go, she likes
French
to visit.
Broad chocolate.
There you go. See, you know the name of it. I just know that the chocolate is good. It's very good.
Yeah. Oh, no. And I'm a huge Winston-Salem State fan as well. You know, I grew up seeing Big House games and all those great basketball teams that they had, and just a great university there in Winston-Salem.
Well, awesome. Well, Ben, I know you've been here a little over a year now, but we are excited to have you here and certainly fortunate to have you here, especially with the amount of experience that you bring to this area. And we hope to have an amazing campaign this year. You guys, let's not let COVID stop us from helping United Way, because United Way turns around and helps so many amazing people. So just a quick recap, just keep in mind, if you have questions about the services that may be provided with United Way, don't guess. Don't assume that they may not be able to help you with that. Take a couple seconds and call 211, just 211, 3 digits. And if you can't talk, if you're in a position where you don't want anyone to hear what you're saying, then you have the capability of texting, and that's 898 211. That's just for texting, though. If you're going to call, you call the 211. And you tell them that you heard Candace Muncy on the radio, and she said to call 211. And I'm sure you will get the response that you need. I also want to thank Miss Pat Frey today. Thank you, Candace. And thank you, Pat, as well, with Home for Good. Pat, you gave us some amazing information. If you are struggling as a renter right now, that moratorium is in place to help you. You do need to fill out the legal form. Pat, let me ask you just real quick, where can someone get their hands on that form?
You know, I am so glad you asked that, because we have it on our website, homeforgoodcv.org. And if you will give me your email address, I will be glad to send you a link to it so any one of your listeners can access it with a couple clicks of a button.
Okay, well, I tell you what, if you can just forward that to the station up here, I think you have Janice and a lot of other of our great station members,
yes.
Michael Soul, you have their information. They will make sure that we have it in a capacity.
Absolutely.
So that anyone who needs it will get it. And Pat, thank you so much for the information. And thank you for being totally honest about it. You know, some people will paint the rosy picture of, oh, you get to delay your rent. You get to stop your rent. Well, they say stop the rent, but it's really a delay. And it's something you will have to pay back later. So, it, like Pat said, I hope that you listened to her, because she was very forthcoming and she didn't mince the words. About like when my grandmother used to speak to me when I was a child. She said, if you can pay something, try to pay something. Because come January, you're going to have 4 months of rent left if you execute this moratorium that's been authorized. If you start, like, for instance, this month or anything like that. So please, let's be mindful of that, because we do not need a housing disaster here in our region come January, where there are people on the street with children or elderly individuals because of an income mishap due to, you know, taking advantage of the moratorium but not really having the funds. But you also need to talk to United Way. Call 211. Because there may be help there. So you just never know. Just want to reach out. And Ben, thank you again for the amazing conversation. Thank you for mentally getting me out of Columbus for a little while, thinking about Asheville and Winston-Salem, because we haven't had time to travel this summer. Didn't get much of a summer vacation because of COVID. But it's always great to have people here that are bringing in new ideas and new ways of doing things to our region. And that's what makes Columbus so special, Ben, because I'm not from here either. But when I moved here almost a decade ago, the people here embraced me and they treated me like I was one of their own. And now I am family. Now I'm raising my daughter here. My wife lives here. She's a doctor for Piedmont Columbus Regional, and we absolutely love it here. So, Ben, we want you to stay as long as you want to stay. We're glad that, you know, we're your, what you said, third United Way. But we want you to be our last one, okay?
Thanks, Teddy. I appreciate that.
No
Thanks
problem at all.
It's been great.
Well, thank you guys so
Thanks,
much.
Teddy.
Yes, yes, yes. This
thank
has been
you so much.
Absolutely. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Again, I want to thank Candace. I want to thank Candace Muncy and Pat Frey and Ben Mauser for being here with us today. That was some very important information. If you missed it on our show today, the show will be archived on any of the station's website. You can go look for it, because you want to go back and listen to this show. This is one of those shows where there's a lot of good information that you really need, especially now. And it may not even be for you. It may be for you to share with your neighbor. It may be for you to share with your church member. It may be for you to share with your nieces or your nephews. But someone may need this information, and you may hold this key for them. Just remember, 211 is the number that we need to call. And you can find out anything we discussed today, because all of them is graciously hosted by the United Way of Chattahoochee Valley. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, you guys have a great week. Have a safe week. And I look forward to talking with you next week. Bye-bye.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.